That's a heavy message, a shifting of liability.
Yes. And even if legally you're not liable for not taking action, the ethical and moral liability would crush me if I were that decision maker, knew that I could have done this for my department, chose not to, and then had to go knock on the door of the parents of a child and let them know that because we did not want to do this, I must inform you that your loved one is dead. And that's the reality.
So what's next? What's beyond that?
What I hope is happening now, and that is the media, like radio, this interview, Hattiesburg American, the local television station, as they make these success stories and these saves public, I'm hoping that anyone out there that's sitting on the fence on this issue will quickly get their act together and do what's right to protect those that they have sworn to serve and protect.
That is a very powerful message, and I'm happy to be a part of that,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
And you are an integral part of it, because I was an elected official for 4 years. We're scared to death of the media as elected officials. You know, we are scared to death of the media. And, you know, if we sense that you're reporting something about the way we do our job, the way we respond to our constituents, that's probably as much of a motivator as the ballot box is when it comes time for re-election. It's a very powerful motivator to be able to sway public opinion, as media can do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that vote of confidence.
Well, it is. But what is next? That's first. That's first and foremost, because you cannot recover someone who is dead. But what I'm also working on is changing the public's perception, trying to attack the stigma of this disease of addiction. My son faced the hell of addiction for 10 years, from the time he was 14 until he died at 24. Time and time again, he was resistant to going in to get help, because to him, it was admitting that he was a moral failure, that he was a total screw-up. I'm trying to get the public, our communities, to realize that this is a disease. It's not something that you should be ashamed of, and if it's in your family, you should not be ashamed to proudly support that loved one and to get them into a place where they can get help. If you had someone with leukemia and they went and got help, the entire community would come around and support. The church would have a fish fry. The school would have a bake sale. The community would have a 5K run to support this person. And even if the leukemia came back, even if there was remission and it came back, there'd be no shame in that. You wouldn't blame the victim or the patient for that. You would rally around again and again and again. And it's so different with the disease of addiction that if a person does experience a period of sobriety and then relapse, which statistically they are likely to after their first stay in treatment, it's like we're done with them. We're told to put them on the curb like a sack of trash. And the tough love argument, I understand that this is a disease that the addict must fix themselves. It's not fair that I can't help them. It's not fair that there's not a drug that can cure them. It's the reality that they must do the heavy lifting. But when they fail, trust me, they have enough shame from themselves towards themselves that they don't need it from me or from their family or from anyone else. After my son went to detox the first time, the first medically supervised detox, he detoxed himself many times on his own without medical help. But after the first medically supervised detox, he was doing well, seeing a counselor. I went over to his house to help him with a plumbing issue, and I walked in and I saw in his kitchen a pizza pan, razor blades, a pill grinder, and a loaded hypodermic. And I yelled his name. He was by himself there. He comes out of the back of the house and he sees me and he sees what I'm looking at, and his head and his shoulders just slump. I cursed. I threw a chair. I yelled at him, called him selfish, and just instantly stopped, and I picked up my toolbox without a word and started walking out of his house. And I'll never forget his words, "Dad, you can't just leave." So I am so thankful at that moment that I did not just leave, that I took him. We went back home, we had a family meeting, and we decided tomorrow was a new day and we're going to try to start again and keep going. But I learned that day that there was no person in that room more disappointed in my son than my son. and he did not need any shame or disappointment expressed from me or from anyone else.